Blog Talk Radio.
Talking political news, cultural topics, and a little witchy stuff, too. This is Conservative Cauldron Radio with your host, Becky Noble. And now, here's your conservative Wiccan, Becky Noble.
Yes, it is. Good Friday morning, everyone. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am, in fact, your conservative Wiccan, Becky Noble. TGIF, peeps, thanks for hanging out and tuning in this morning. It is, well, it's going to be, what are the old Southern people say, like, it's going to be a scorcher, it's going to be a, they have all these great words for, it's going to be a really hot day. And don't know about where you are, but we are expecting some pretty steamy weather here in St. Louis. And so everybody who may be listening here, please, don't be stupid about it. You know, drink plenty of water and, do all the things that they tell you to do that you already know to do, but you don't do it. But hope it's bright and sunny wherever you are. And we've got a lot to get to today. Of course, there is no shortage. But before we get into all that, I will tell you that you can call in here, and the number is 347-857-2620, 347-857-2620, and of course, the chat room, as always, is open for your convenience, so should you want to go, easy for me to say, should you want to go that route, it is open, and whoever might have missed the big news, the big announcement last week, things are changing here at Conservative Cauldron Radio and a lot of other places too, a lot of other shows. Long story short, conservativeradionetwork.com, we are going to partner, that is the website that rebroadcasts Conservative Cauldron Radio Monday through Saturdays at 2 p.m. Central Time. Long story short, we're going to team up with Red Nation Rising to become the new Red Nation Rising Radio Network. And all of us, both at Red Nation Rising and at conservativeradionetwork.com, we are all like silly excited about it, and we are totally pumped, and there is going to be lots of new things going on, lots of stuff. The new network will launch on July the 4th, appropriately enough, Independence Day, and it's going to be really cool. There's going to be a ton of great shows, and so we're about roughly 3 weeks out, I guess, from launch date, and so there's a lot going on, and like I said, we are all silly excited, and we are pumped and ready to get going with the new network, so stay tuned. Keep tuning in to Conservative Cauldron Radio, and also all of the great shows that are on conservativeradionetwork.com, because I'm sure, I can't believe other people aren't talking about it too, because like I said, we're all pretty excited about it, so please check it out. Again, July 4th is go time, and we really want everybody to tune in and check out what we think is going to be something really fantastic and really, in the words of the presumptive Republican nominee, huge. Anyway, like I said, we have lots of stuff to get to today, and it's never a dull week here at Conservative Cauldron Radio. There is always lots of stuff going on, so we will get into it. Of course, we had the last round of primaries that took place this week, and at the risk of sounding like there's a joke in there somewhere, no pun intended, the big enchilada, of course, was California, and prior to that primary, there was a lot of people who thought that Bernie Sanders really had a chance out there. But that was for naught. Hillary Clinton took California. I think Bernie won in Montana and North Dakota. But Hillary Clinton has secured enough pledged delegates to secure the Democrat nomination for President of the United States. Of course, like the Republicans, that is not official until she gets to the Democrat convention in Philadelphia. That is the week after the Republicans, last week of July, I believe, in Philadelphia. But, you know, the thing is, and a lot of people are still talking about this, is that you have the whole, with the Democrats, you have the whole superdelegate thing going on. And I have seen several scenarios where if Hillary Clinton does not have those superdelegates, she either A, does not win the nomination, or it is even more of a squeaker than it is than it already was. And, you know, my whole thing all along has been how did Bernie Sanders, yeah, maybe he doesn't call himself a Democrat. He calls himself a Democrat socialist. He can call himself whatever he wants to call himself. But surely prior to this run for the presidency, he familiarized or was already familiarized with the rules of the Democrat nomination process. Therefore, he was well aware about the whole superdelegate process. I don't believe that he did not know about the superdelegate process. And even more than that, you know, I don't believe, given the recent history, let's say from 2008 onward up to now, that Bernie Sanders was not aware that this was supposed to be a coronation of Hillary Clinton. Because let's go back a ways, shall we, briefly, very quickly here, in recent history. This was supposed to be Hillary Clinton's in 2008, and then all of a sudden came along this slick, good-looking community organizer guy from Chicago who got everybody chanting, "Yes, we can," and spent a few days in the Illinois State Senate, spent a few days in the United States Senate, voted present for everything that came before him, and all of a sudden was the Democrat nominee for President of the United States. And Hillary was going, wait a minute, this is no, I'm sorry, apparently you don't understand that this, I'm supposed to be the winner here. But, you know, history being what it now is, she took one for the team. Let's face it, Hillary's been taking a lot for the team. And for anyone, incidentally, I digress here for just a minute. For anyone who has seen the Drudge Report this morning, Hillary has been taking a lot for the team. I'll get into that. You know, so she did what she had to do. She became Secretary of State. She did all the things she was supposed to do. And so now 2016 was supposed to be nothing but going through the motions for her. And then along came Bernie. And, you know, Bernie was supposed to be done within a couple of months. Bernie was a puppet. Bernie was a figurehead. So it looked like that Hillary Clinton had some competition. When everybody knew, everybody at the beginning of this, the whole primary process, knew that she didn't, that it was just going through the motions process, and that it was just a coronation. Well, and the whole thing with Bernie and his rallies and the thousands of people that are showing up, and you know what, love or hate Bernie, agree or disagree with Bernie, I would agree that Bernie has started a movement. He started a movement with young people. The problem is that he has started a movement with young people who have never been taught what socialism really is. That's the problem with the movement. But he has done that, and he has done much, much better in this primary process than anybody would have ever anticipated. And, you know, everybody keeps going on about how this election cycle is like no other, and it truly is on both sides of the aisle. But so Bernie walked away with Montana and North Dakota, and you know, there's a lot of speculation now that whether or not that Bernie Sanders supporters will vote for Hillary, and there's a good portion of them who are saying no chance, no chance that, and they're ticked because the point that I was getting to in a roundabout way was that not only did Bernie have to know about this whole superdelegate process, but he also had to know that the superdelegate process is in place for one reason and one reason only, and that is so that the Democrat Party will get the candidate that they want. It's not about people voting in primaries or caucuses or anything like that. The whole superdelegate process, and superdelegates, for anybody who may not know, superdelegates are basically, well, they're down-ticket elected members of the party. They're state reps, they're state senators, they're state party chairs, they're, yeah, there are some United States congressmen and senators in the mix, but for the most part, they're elected officials. They're elected state. For the most part, they are state Democrat elected officials. And you know, if you look at the totals of superdelegates that Hillary Clinton has versus the total that Bernie Sanders has, you know, I don't know how you don't look at that and go, what, something doesn't smell right here. And my whole thing is that, here's the thing. Bernie Sanders, like I said at the top of the show, Hillary Clinton, and for that matter, Donald Trump, neither one of them officially become the nominee of their party until their respective conventions. And so right now, today, Bernie Sanders has every right in the world to work all of those superdelegates, because the rule is that those superdelegates can, even though right now today they may be saying, yeah, I'm going to vote for Hillary, they can change their mind at any time prior to the convention when they raise their hand and say, I'm voting for Hillary. And so again, right now today, Bernie Sanders is well within his right to work those delegates. He can work them up until the convention. And the thing with that is that, see, here's my theory about superdelegates. I think that superdelegates all over the nation, whoever they are, I think that those superdelegates have been instructed to vote for Hillary Clinton, whether they want to vote for her or not. They may think she's as crooked as a dog's hind leg, but they have been instructed to vote for her. And the reason that they're going to do that is not for any sort of party unity or anything of that nature. They're going to vote for her because they've been informed that if they do not vote for her, because let's face it, the Democrat Party is not going to let a guy like Bernie Sanders become their nominee. They want to be that far left, but they don't want to be that officially far left, if you know what I mean, because Bernie would make it official. Bernie would make it completely official that the Democrat Party has gone so far left that they are sitting on the fence between being really far left and socialist. And they're sitting on the fence and they're starting to fall over into the socialist category, but they don't want that to be public. They don't want that to be air quote official. So they're not going to let a guy like Bernie Sanders get elected, because as soon as the general election rolls around, Hillary is going to, she's going to move a little bit back to the center because she wants to get those votes of independents, undecideds, things like that. But the thing with the superdelegates is that my theory is that they have been instructed to vote for Hillary Clinton, because if they do not, all of those elected officials who are superdelegates, if they do not vote for Hillary Clinton, they can expect to not see a dime of reelection money from the DNC. Now, if you're somebody who is interested in getting reelected, and moreover, if you are someone who is A, interested in getting reelected, but B, facing a really tight reelection race, you want the dough, you want the cash, and you're going to do what you need to do to get the dough and to get the cash. And if that means, if you're a superdelegate and you have to vote for Hillary Clinton, by God, you're going to do that, because let's face it, what's that old saying? Money talks. So we are now pretty much down to where we're going to be. And I have a report here from Newsmax, and it's kind of amusing because they are attempting to explain the delegate process and the superdelegate process, and it's, you know, my eyes glazed over when I tried to read it. I don't even know that I've got it here so I could try to explain it, but it's really, you know. Anyway, the gist of it here, I'll try to do a little bit of it here. Clinton has won 1,812 pledged delegates. Sanders has won 1,521. That gives her a lead of 291. That is far more than the 138. Well, okay, that goes on. The far more than the 138 delegate lead that Barack Obama had over Hillary Clinton back in 2008. Among the superdelegates, Clinton has the support of 571. Sanders has the backing of 48. So that gives her a 523 superdelegate lead, and which puts her over the top, basically. Clinton has 2,383, Sanders 1,569. It said this was prior to the this report is prior to the primary. Of the 4,765 delegates to the Democrat National Convention, 714 are superdelegates. Again, they are all party officials, governors, and members of Congress who may vote for the candidate of their choice, regardless of the outcome of their state's primary or caucus. Bernie Sanders argues that the superdelegates should not be counted since they don't formally cast their votes until the national convention. He intends to win over those who back Clinton by making the case before the party meets in Philadelphia to be a stronger general election candidate against Donald Trump. But an AP survey, which began in late 2015, said that no superdelegate has flipped support from Clinton to Sanders, and none has suggested that that would happen. The superdelegate process was created in 1982. They have rarely strayed from their original endorsements unless there is a change in the pledged delegate tally. In 2008, some superdelegates flipped from Clinton to Obama after he overcame an early lead in pledged delegates. After he overcame her early lead in pledged delegates. The majority of superdelegates have always sided with the winner of the most pledged delegates, which in this case, of course, is Hillary Clinton. So it's a very complicated process. And, you know, another thing here, too, just another little tidbit, is that we're hearing Hillary Clinton go on and on and on about being the first female elected as a major party candidate. And I wish I had the details on this. I'm sure I saw it on social media. I'm sure that you can too. Hillary Clinton is not the first woman elected as a nominee to a major political party. That happened back in 1872. The woman's name escapes me, but I have seen it. Well, and you know, by giving you this information, I realize, yeah, if it's on the internet, it must be true. But I believe that I saw earlier in the week this week that wasn't it Shirley Chisholm back in 1972? I don't know the details, but so we know that Hillary's gonna run on the woman. She's gonna run on "I'm a woman, hear me roar," that whole thing. But yet she also wants to be, you know, she also wants to play "They're just picking on me because I'm a girl" too, and. You know, it'll be interesting to see how she turns herself into a pretzel to try to achieve that double whammy there of "I am woman, hear me roar," and "they're only picking on me because I'm a girl." Meanwhile, as we were talking about the superdelegates and the superdelegate process, of course, yesterday President Obama officially endorsed Hillary Clinton for president, and Bernie's people are kind of hot. They are hot. They're hot about the whole delegate process. They were extremely upset earlier in the week that prior to all of these primaries with the official tallies and the official counts coming in, that a lot of news organizations were already calling Hillary the presumptive nominee, even before all of the votes had been cast. And you know what? They have every right to be. They should be hacked off. And we will talk a little bit more about that. Plus, we have, let's see, what else? The IRS, there actually are a few more things besides presidential election tidbits to talk about. The IRS has finally revealed the list of Tea Party groups that they targeted. And, well, that's interesting. All of their names have a lot in common. Plus, something I've been holding on to for a little bit, hopefully I can get to a couple of these things, about the FBI director talking about the Ferguson effect. Oh, yeah, there is such a thing. And we will talk about it in just a bit. I am going to take a break. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Again, TGIF. Thanks for hanging out. Don't go anywhere.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
The following message is brought to you by Health Markets, your first choice when you need health insurance for your small business. Do you offer health insurance to your employees? Call us now and see if you can save money. Do you want to offer vision and dental to your employees? Call us. Do you think you're paying too much for your current health insurance? Call us. Do you want somebody else to do all the legwork and search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide? Call us. We're Health Markets, and thanks to a little-known solution, we could help your business save thousands of dollars on health insurance costs and save your employees money, too. Our service is free. Don't miss the great savings. Call now.
800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. That's 800-470-8021.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is DBA of InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc. Licensed in all states. Product availability varies.
Are you getting squeezed by the economic downturn? Hey, you were doing fine. Then, all of a sudden, you're having a tough time paying your family's credit card bills. Maybe you were downsized or even lost a job, but you still owe 10 grand or more in credit card bills, and you just can't afford the minimum payments anymore. We're here to help. We are the Genesis Debt Partners. We know the secrets to negotiate better terms with your creditors. Make a free 10-minute call right now and learn how we can help you get out of debt. 800-807-9767. If you owe 10 grand or more in credit card debt and you want to learn how you can pay less and get out of debt faster, call right now. 800-807-9767. 800-807-9767. Get out of debt now. 800-807-9767.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975. To find out more, call toll-free 800-962-9119. That's 800-962-9119. Call 800-962-9119 today.
Is debt beating you down? You need discipline. You need
the Debt Ninja.
If you've been caught in a financial trap and need to be set free, then you need
the Debt Ninja.
Want to stop those harassing collection calls, start saving thousands in interest and fees, and get out of debt fast? Then you need to call
the Debt Ninja.
The Debt Ninja will find the best companies across the country that will help you consolidate all your bills into one easy payment, reduce your payments by 30 to 50%, and get you out of debt fast. If you have unsecured debt of $10,000 or more, such as credit cards, loans, or medical bills, call
the Debt Ninja
for a free 15-minute consultation.
Call 800-824-3301. 800-824-3301. That's 800-824-3301.
Call today.
The Debt Ninja.
We are back. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Thank you very much for hanging out with me today and chilling with me on this Friday. TGIF people, the weekend is upon us. Huh, I never thought I would get here. Anyway, we are talking about, well, of course, presidential politics. We have two presumptive nominees in Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, and it's going to be a long, hot summer, I think. But Bernie Sanders met yesterday with President Obama at the White House, and it is kind of interesting because he came out of this meeting and he did not concede. He did not say, I'm suspending my campaign. He didn't drop out. He didn't do anything of that sort. Basically what he said was that his campaign, that they were going to take their issues, I believe what were his words, that they were going to take the issues to the convention in Philadelphia. But then he also said that he was ready to work with Hillary Clinton and do whatever he needed to do to help her to victory. But I do have a report here from the Politico that, like I said before the break, Bernie Sanders people are ticked. They're ticked off because they know that the whole superdelegate process is a fix. They know that the whole game was rigged, and they're not happy. They're not happy about it, and there is a good portion of them who are saying that they will not vote for Hillary Clinton. But again, this is a report from the Politico that it says that Bernie Sanders supporters have some advice for President Barack Obama: back off. But again, they're hot, and I think that they have every reason to be, because it's quite obvious that this whole system was rigged, and they were all pretty scared the other night when Bernie came out to speak after the primaries that he at that point was going to suspend his campaign. But this is a quote here from Nina Turner. She is a former Ohio State Senator. She has been traveling the country on behalf of the Sanders campaign. And she says, quote, the president is not Senator Sanders' boss. We've got to get this straight here. There's respect that's for the commander-in-chief, but Senator Sanders is duly elected, and he'll make his own decisions. A lot of Bernie's supporters believe that by the president wanting to meet with him, that he was trying to, even though the math was in, that he is trying to prematurely end the primary season and end the fight. But and there's a lot of people who are saying, even Democrats, that they don't know that the president even anymore has enough influence and enough pull, enough oomph to really sway people and really make a difference in what they want as far as Bernie or Hillary. And even with an endorsement of Hillary Clinton, the campaign is hypersensitive to any whiff of being treated as a small fringe candidate, even though Bernie Sanders won more than 40% of the primary vote and being dismissed by the Democrat establishment. We've got establishment issues going on both sides here. And an endorsement of Hillary Clinton by the president, who many Sanders supporters believe fell short of his progressive promise, has the smell of establishment on him. And I would say now he probably does. But Bernie Sanders, of course, he's never had much interest in what Democrat leaders want. Otherwise, why would he have been in this presidential race? Many people who know him describe him as somebody who marches to the beat of his own drum. That was from former Pennsylvania Governor Ed Fast Eddie Rendell. And his quote was, the president deserves an A for effort, but I'm not sure he's going to have much of an impact. So, Bernie's people they're not happy. And I don't think it's a guarantee. It's not a given that they are going to go into the voting booth and pull the lever there for Hillary Clinton. But there is a there are a lot of Democrat operatives, Democrat strategists, who say that bringing their party together. You know, people love to talk about the Republican Party and what a mess it's in right now. There's no cut and dried, all neat and tidy, folded up situation going on over on the Democrat side either. That that bringing unity to the Democrat Party is up to both the Clinton and Sanders campaigns and the DNC. You know, again, we'll I have my own thoughts on the Republicans, but we will remains to be seen what will happen on the other side of the aisle. But and I do have a quote here. This guy, Alan Grayson. Oh my God, what a train wreck! But you know what? I'm feeling my forehead because I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm actually agreeing with him. We all remember Alan Grayson. He was a former congressman from Florida, and he went on the floor of the House and talked about the Republicans' health plan was, and his description of an alternative health plan to Obamacare that would anything that would be put forth by the Republicans was die quickly. Yeah, that Alan Grayson. He's a gem, isn't he? He's a peach. But in this case, I don't know. I gotta agree with him. The quote from him here is, quote, "These are all word games. She's not now the nominee. That is a decision that is made in Philadelphia at a certain time and a certain place. The convention will choose a nominee. There's no way legally to bring that decision forward. It is what it is. And this is another quote from someone named Erin Bilbray. She is a Nevada DNC member. And she is also a superdelegate. And she says, I'm just waiting for Bernie Sanders for Philadelphia. So there is no for anybody who thinks that things are going to be messy in Cleveland, things are going to be messy in Philadelphia, too. I got news for you. But and that's going to be one of those things, I think, for all of the media's focus on the Republicans and what they think is going to be fireworks going on. People not showing up, people not vote, casting their votes for Donald Trump, what have you, going to be interesting. Bernie says he's showing up with his people, and while he is saying now that he will help Hillary Clinton, he has not really officially suspended and or dropped out of the race or suspended his campaign. So we will see. I do have some poll numbers here. This is from Real Clear Politics, and this is about the top, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about the top 8 polls here that are averaged out here. This is, well, I can give you some tidbits on each one of them. There's Fox News, Rasmussen, Reuters, Ipsos, excuse me, IBD, TIPP, Quinnipiac, ABC News, Washington Post, NBC News, Wall Street Journal, and CBS News, New York Times. These are all the polls that are included in this. That the Real Clear Politics average right now has Hillary Clinton up by 3.8 percentage points. I believe that is within the margin of error. There are only, out of these 8 polls here, there are, let's see, 1, 2, maybe 3 out of these 8 polls that would be out of the margin of error that put Hillary Clinton in the lead. Fox News has Clinton up by 3, Rasmussen Clinton up by 4, Reuters Ipsos Clinton up by 8, IBD TIP Clinton up by 5, Quinnipiac Clinton by 4, ABC News, Washington Post, Trump up by 2, NBC, Wall Street Journal, Clinton up by 3, and CBS, Wall Street Times, Clinton up by 6. So, I mean, this is really the first of bazillions of polls that are going to take place between now and November. And this is going to roller coaster so much and go so back and forth depending on events that take place and things that happen, things that are said, not done, what have you, that you know, this is just a very early snapshot. Conventions have yet to happen, you know, things of that nature. So, you know, it's a very early snapshot, and you can take from it what you want. But it's early. That's all I'm going to say about that, is that it's early. And yeah, I know the whole thing when your guy is behind, that people always say, oh yeah, well it's early, and you know when they're, you know, and it, the polls matter when you want them to matter, basically. But you know, right now it's June. We're what, July, August, September, October. We're 5 months out still. It really doesn't matter at this point. But anyway, moving on. Like I said, believe it or not, there are other things going on besides presidential politics. I know it's hard. I know it's hard to believe, but there are a few things. But this is from the Washington Times. This is from last Sunday, but it's an interesting little tidbit. More than 3 years after it admitted to targeting Tea Party groups for intrusive scrutiny, the IRS has finally released a near-complete list of the organizations it snagged in a political dragnet. The tax agency filed the list last month as part of a court case after a series of federal judges, fed up with what they said was the agency stonewalling, ordered it to get a move on. The case is a class action lawsuit, so the list of names is critical to knowing the scope of those who would have a claim against the IRS. And there's an interesting thing here about this list. The government released names of 426 organizations. Another 40 were not released because they were not released as part of the list because they had already opted out of being part of the class action suit. Of course, that total is much higher than the 298 groups that the IRS Inspector General identified back in May of 2013, that when investigators first revealed that this was going on, when they first revealed that the IRS was subjecting these groups who were seeking tax exempt status to long, potentially illegal delays and forcing them to answer intrusive questions about their activities. Tea Party and conservative groups said that they were the target of unusually heavy investigations and longer delays. Another interesting thing about this is Edward Grime. He is the lawyer who's pursuing the case on behalf of NorCal Tea Party Patriots and other members of the class action lawsuit, said the list also could have ballooned toward the end of the targeting, as the IRS once knew it was being investigated, snagged more liberal groups in its operation to try to soften perceptions of political bias. And that's basically what was going on here. So let's take a look at what some of these groups have in common now, shall we? Well, keep in mind, we're talking about 426 groups, 426 conservative groups who filed for tax exempt status to the IRS. 60 of the groups on the list released last month have the word, 33 have patriot, 8 refer to the Constitution, and 13 have 912 in their name, which is the moniker of a movement started by conservatives. Another 26 group names refer to liberty, though that list does include some groups that are not discernibly conservative in orientation. So what happened here is that all of these groups, we can do some math here. 60 plus 33, that's 93 plus the 8, that's over 100, that's 113. So you're roughly talking, we could say maybe between 100 and 120 different groups here that have these words in their name. Out of 426, that's a quarter. That's 25% of the groups here. That's, you know. So basically what went on here is they started targeting all of these groups with if you had T in your name, Patriot, Constitution, 912, you know, any of those. Apparently these were keywords that were hit upon by the IRS. So what went on here basically is that as soon as those rocket scientists over there at the IRS realized that people were starting to see a trend here of groups who were being targeted and they were being asked some extremely intrusive questions, Things like, do you pray at your meetings and at your events? If so, what do you pray about? Are you kidding me? Are you serious? I mean, that's the kind of thing that the IRS was participating in. And but as soon as the rocket scientists over there at the IRS realized that, starting to see a trend, that they were starting to, that they were creating a pattern of at least it gave the impression that there was a pattern being created by their targeting of these groups. Somebody said, you know what, people are gonna get wise. They're gonna get hip to what we're doing. So maybe we need to target a couple of liberal, a few left-leaning groups as well. So they went and they found about, oh, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 groups that had words like Occupy in their name. And they targeted them as well because, well, we don't want to make it look like we're just targeting conservatives here, because, yeah, that wouldn't be right, would it? So there's evidence here that the IRS, as soon as there was a pattern formed, that they went about covering their tracks and made it, if they actually did target these liberal-leaning groups, who knows? But they made sure to include some groups with words like Occupy in their investigations, in their inquiries into these various groups. But excuse me, some Republicans are congressional Republicans, I'm sorry, are saying that IRS Commissioner John Koskinen, who was brought in by President Obama, he cleaned it up all right, didn't he? Maybe he was doing exactly what President Obama instructed him to do. Well, we don't know. We don't know just how far up the food chain that goes. Chances are we probably never will. But John Koskinen, who was brought in by President Obama to clean up the agency after the targeting scandal, has failed and even misled Congress during the investigation. Some are even pursuing impeachment against Mr. Koskinen, accusing him of defying a subpoena for former senior IRS executive Lois Lerner's emails by allowing computer backup tapes to be destroyed. Even outside of impeachment, the House GOP has proposed a new round of budget cuts for the IRS aimed at trying to deliver a message that Mr. Koskinen's tenure has been unacceptable. And the tax agency is still defending itself in a series of court cases in addition to the NorCal class action case. The Federal Appeals Court in Washington, D.C. is currently considering an appeal by Tea Party groups who argue that the targeting is still going on to this day. Apparently, the IRS has not learned anything. In yet another case, the conservative group Cause of Action has been pursuing the IRS to turn over documents to the group believed would show that White House officials requesting secret taxpayer information on conservatives. But in a filing apparently today, on Friday, the IRS said it had conducted a final search and can't find any evidence that the White House either asked for or received protected information. So in an inquiry about whether or not the White House was seeking taxpayer information on conservatives, the IRS investigated itself and said no, that the White House had not. Forgive me if I don't believe that. Forgive me if I believe that is horse hockey. But this is something I've been holding on to for a while. This is a story I have here that from the beginning of May, FBI Director James Comey talks about the Ferguson effect causing murder spikes. FBI Director James Comey once again tread uncontroversial waters when he reaffirmed his position that the potential for viral video has led to a decrease in effective policing, which is causing a spike in crime nationwide. Comey believes that a viral video effect could well be at the heart of a rise in violent crime. This is in a report from the New York Times. The, quote, Ferguson effect, police officers hesitant to confront suspects for fear of getting hit with excessive force or brutality thanks to a video. There's a perception that police are less likely to do the marginal additional policing that suppresses crime, the getting out of your car at two in the morning and saying to a group of guys, hey, what are you doing here? Comey said to reporters. Police are under scrutiny in Minneapolis, where shootings are on the rise, but arrests are down over the past few months since the police-involved shooting death of Jamar Clark, an unarmed 24-year-old black man. In the precinct where Clark was shot, there have been 45 there has been a 45% drop in arrests while the number of shootings is on the rise. According to VoActive, one police officer was quoted as saying, "Confrontation equals getting indicted. Put on the front page or the police chief will bury you. As far as I'm concerned, I'm done working." Though Comey rejects the term Ferguson effect, he says the phenomenon could well be an important factor in the new statistics he was briefed on Wednesday, rising crime rates in 40 cities in the first quarter of 2016. And I will add to that little tidbit before I go to a break and say that here in St. Louis, there is a there are people who would like to have the release of the names of the people who served on the grand jury in the Michael Brown case. Gee, what could go wrong there? You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Thank you for chilling with me today. I've got lots more to get to before we get out of here today, so stay right where you are.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
Man, I had a rough night's sleep. I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the tax doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the tax doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. Again, 800-631-9123.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the health insurance hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501.
Hi there, I'm Slammin' Sam Myers, and I would like to invite you to listen to Fun, Exciting Oldies, The Fox. It's an internet radio station that is like nothing else you've ever heard before. Most classic hit stations have a music library of 500 or maybe 1,000 songs. The Fox Oldies has several thousand. We play songs that radio has forgotten. My favorite thing to hear is I haven't heard that song in years. You'll hear music from the 50s like Elvis Presley, and every once in a while a current song that adults enjoy like Uptown Funk. It's real heavy on the music from 1970 to 1981. Tune in to www.thefoxoldies.com. Tune in, and I promise you, you're going to hear something within an hour that you have not heard in a very, very long time. That's what the Fox Oldies specializes in. It's music that will put a smile on your face. And music that does not have to be censored. It's fun, exciting oldies. The Fox at www.thefoxoldies.com.
Attention business owners. We know that owning a business means getting things done right now. So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company. General Steel. We can design a building for your business quickly and save you thousands of dollars. That's right, thousands. You may think General Steel only builds large projects or that you can't afford General Steel quality. Well, check these prices. How about a 40 by 60 foot building for under $22,000? Or even a 50 by 100 for under $35,000? That's right, a 5,000 square foot building for under $35,000. And these buildings all have General Steel quality. Best of all, you can still order a building and have it delivered in time to build this year. How's that for right now? So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company, General Steel.
800-398-8309. 800-398-8309. 800-398-8309. That's 800-398-8309.
Yes, we are back. You are, of course, listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. Thanks for hanging out with me today. I am Becky Noble. And before we wrap things up here for today, just kind of, man, I'm cleaning out my my stack of stuff. But this is also something I've had for a while, haven't had time to get to. And it's kind of on a personal note for me. This is from Texas.com. And it talks about, the title of this is Out of the Shadows, Wicca Grows in Austin and Beyond. And basically what it says here is that it goes on. One of the things I want to do here at Conservative Cauldron Radio is talk about my faith and not shove it down people's throats. You know, people are what they are, and that's cool. You know, God bless America. But try to get rid of some of the misconceptions. But this goes on to talk about Wicca being one of the fastest growing religions in the United States. And it says here, truthfully, that Wicca is a modern version of ancient pagan religions created in England and brought to the United States in the 1960s. Its followers worship a goddess and a god, honor the earth, and practice ritual magic. They follow the Wiccan Rite, a statement of principles that stresses the importance of doing no harm. We believe that everything is part of the one, said Ed Fitch. He is a Wiccan senior high priest and member of Caldwell's Meetup Group, one of several Wiccan or witches groups in Austin. He is also a author, a pagan author. He's authored many, many books. Ed Fitch, again, is his name. You can go online and check him out. Everything in the universe is linked to everything else in the universe. Wicca is a highly decentralized religion with no central authority. It's hard to get a tally of its members. The American Religious Identification Survey, which periodically surveys 50,000 Americans, said the number of self-identified Wiccans increased from 342,000 in 2008 up from 134,000 in 2001. The 2008 figures are the most recent. Wicca's growth tracks the changing religious landscape in the U.S. as a growing number of people have leave established religions and become either unaffiliated or switch to alternative religions. About 5.9% of Americans followed a non-Christian faith in 2014, up from 4.7% in 2007. That is according to the Pew Research Center. So, Ashley, I'd like to, when I have some more time, we will, I'll come back to this and I'll talk a little bit more about it because I think it's worth, it's worth it to me to get it out there and to talk about it. But very quickly here, before I got to get out of here. A monkey knocks out Kenya's entire power grid after falling onto transformer at electricity plant. A monkey has been blamed for causing a nationwide blackout in Kenya after falling onto a transformer at a power station. The country on Africa's east coast was without electricity for more than 3 hours today after the incident shortly after 11:30 a.m. local time. Electricity company KenGen released a statement this afternoon claiming that the outage was the result of an ape climbing on a power station roof and tripping a transformer. It said, at 11:29 hours this morning, a monkey climbed onto the roof of Gitaru Power Station and dropped onto the transformer, tripping it. This caused other machines at the power station to trip and overload, resulting in a loss of more than 180 megawatt form from this plant, which triggered a national power blackout. The system has since been restored, and all our power generating units are operating normally. KenGen power installations are secured by electric fencing, which keeps away marauding wild animals. We regret this isolated incident, and the company is looking at ways to further enhancing security at all our power plants. The Gitaru Power Station is the biggest in terms of installed capacity and can serve a fifth of the country's capacity from its 225 megawatt peak power generation, according to the Kenyan Star. The newspaper claims the outage saw the service industry, which relies on the main supply, grind to a halt. Power was restored across the country around 3 p.m. local time. Moral of that story, people, it's Kenya, not our circus, not our monkeys. I am out of here. Everyone have a fantastic weekend. Please go to Politichicks. Going to try to get something new up there very shortly. conservativecauldron.blogspot.com. Also trying to get something new up there very shortly. Facebook.com/BeckyNoble and on Twitter at Patriot Witch. And, of course, conservativeradionetwork.com, Monday through Saturday, 2 p.m. Central Time. Check it out. Have a fantastic weekend, and I will see you next time.